We're on to part five of our Ready series, and we're going to actually end it today. So if you have a Bible, I invite you to turn to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, we're going to be looking at 10 through 19 today. We're adding one extra verse today. And our main focus today will be verses 18, which we've been talking about, and then one point on verse 19. And so 18 and 19 will be our focus today as we end out our Ready series. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10 through 19. We read this starting in verse 10. Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the tactics of the devil. For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world powers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. This is why you must take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having prepared everything, to take your stand. Stand, therefore, with truth like a belt around your waist, righteousness like armor on your chest, and your feet sandaled with readiness for the gospel of peace. In every situation, take the shield of faith, and with it you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. Pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert in this with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. Pray also for me, that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. Let's pray. Lord, as we finish out this series today, I pray that it'll be more than just words. Lord, that we will take these words and that you have given us through your word, the Bible, and Lord, that we will start to apply these. Lord, I pray you'll talk to our hearts today. Lord, that you'll ready our minds today. Lord, that we will take up what you say and that we will put on what you say here in Scripture and that we'll be ready for when Satan attacks. Lord, teach us today through your word. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, kind of tell you where we've been. Week one, we established the importance of being ready. In verse 13, we are called to being have prepared or having prepared everything. And so week one, we established the importance of readiness, being a ready believer and not being a reactionary believer. This is where we've been, ready versus reactionary in our faith. Next, we talked about the keys to us being ready, or how can we be ready as Christians. And these how-tos are actually the keys for us to put on the armor of God. If we understand these how-tos, then that's how we put on the armor. That's how we ready ourselves with the armor we are called to put on, which is what we went through week three and four of this series was the armor of God. And so here's the key. We must be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength, which is verse 10. Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and his vast strength. The power to be ready comes from God alone. So we pray, we keep on praying, we seek, we keep on seeking in Scripture. We admit our inability and we realize God's ability and we keep on seeking him. And then we must purposefully take action in what God shows us as we seek him. And so we must take up and put on what God shows us. And ultimately in this passage, it's the armor. Verse 11 tells us to put it on. Verse 13 tells us to take it up. But there is a purposeful action. So what God shows us, we take action in. And then we walk through the different armors that we're called to put on, or the different aspects of this armor. And so we have verse 14, truth like a belt. Are there areas in our life that are loose ends that we have not tucked back under, living under the truth God shows us that we need to bring back under that? Righteousness, like armor on our chest. Christ sets the example in righteousness. And so we get into God's word, we see Christ's example in righteousness, then we live out that example to others, the application of that. Christ is our only hope for righteousness. Verse 15, feet sandaled with readiness for the gospel. To know the gospel, to proclaim the gospel, to be ready for with the gospel, both to others and to ourselves, which is actually in verse 17, the helmet of salvation. We'll get to that in a second. In every situation, take the shield of faith. And we talked about how that is not the teachings or tell me about your faith and you tell somebody about your church and your religious practices. But this is a continual trust in God, in his promises and in his word in all circumstances. In verse 17, the helmet of salvation, Satan will attack you. Satan will try to get you to doubt your salvation in Christ alone. Is there something else that you need to do? It's in Christ alone we are saved. And so we are called to put on this helmet of salvation, remind ourselves where our salvation is. It's in Christ alone. And as we do this, we are ready to share the gospel with others as well. And then in verse 17, the sword of the Spirit. This is both a defensive and offensive weapon, but this is the only weapon that is listed here in this whole armor. There's all this armor, and then there is a weapon. The sword of the Spirit, which is God's word, verse 17. It both protects against attack by Satan and destroys the strategy of our enemy before he attacks. As an offensive weapon. This week, we're into verse 18. If you've missed the previous weeks, I invite you to go to our website. You can listen to them, catch up, but we're going to go ahead and instead of digging into those even more, that's just a quick overview, we're going to dig into verse 18 now. So verse 18 and verse 19 say this: pray at all times in the Spirit, with every prayer and request, and stay alert in this. With all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. Pray also for me, that the message may be given me when I open my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. This whole section deals with prayer. We've already established that in order to rely on the power of God, we need to be praying and keep on praying and reading and keep on reading and realize our inability and God's ability. But prayer is so key to this. And so there are six applications that we can take and start to apply now to our prayer life that to me are eye-opening, are pretty challenging, are just great reminders, depending on where you're at in your prayer life, or are great times of training. How do I pray? How do I maintain this prayer life? So, first of all, is the frequency of prayer. Number one, the frequency of our prayer life, and it says this: pray at all times. Pray at all times. You may be familiar with 1 Thessalonians 5:17 that says this: pray consistently. Or maybe you memorized it in the New King James Version that says, pray without ceasing. It's a very short verse. Pray consistently. Do we see that? Or constantly, sorry. That's my dyslexia kicking in. I told you. It kicks in constantly. Pray constantly, which means the same thing, consistently. Okay. So anyway, we have typical prayer times. You know what I notice though? I can tell when my dyslexia kicks in because I'll say something and then I'll hear somebody whisper, "He said the wrong word." And then the person next to him will go, "It's okay. I do it all the time." And so, thanks. That's the reminder. Then I go, wait, what did I say wrong there? Okay. So anyway, we have typically two times that we pray. Well, most people would say, okay, I pray when I go to bed at night, or I pray before a meal, or I pray when I wake up. And so like it's a rise and shine, night, and meal prayer time. And those aren't bad prayer times. Those are great prayer times to have. Throughout Scripture, we see those modeled by different people. And so that is key. You should have those types of prayer times. But here, we are called to pray constantly here. Continually here. So, what is this? Does that mean that I'm walking around constantly in prayer? An ongoing one prayer from bedtime, from awake time when my alarm goes off till bedtime? No. And yes. Okay? It means this, that we constantly have the attitude of prayer. We're in a conversation with God throughout our day, ongoing. It doesn't mean you prayed once, you're done for the day, you're good to go. You're constantly praying about the things that are going on in your life. Yes, it's not one prayer, but it's an ongoing conversation with God throughout your day. It's an awareness of our need for God and the fact that He is here so I can reach out to Him. It's an application of, I realize I need God. I realize I need His power. I realize I cannot do this on my own. And I don't just go, okay, I need to know that. Good. On with my day. I say that to myself. I realize that to myself. And then I pray about it. I ask for His help. I seek Him throughout my day. So, I'll think about it this way. There was a day and time, and most of us in here know this, where we did not walk around with communication devices in our pocket. Okay? We didn't have that. There was certain locations you could communicate at. Phone booth, a house, maybe if you were super fancy and you had a car that had a phone in it, then you had that phone in your car, maybe, but there was a day when that didn't even exist. During those times, you may have had something happen in your life where you could not communicate with somebody, but you really needed to communicate with someone. And so what did you have to do? You had to go to a location that had a communication device. Many Christians treat our prayer lives that way. There's only certain times or certain ways or certain locations that we can pray in. I remember one time I was, I think it was 1999, I want to say, and I was driving to college. And I was driving a big Astro van, not the really big ones, but like, I guess it was considered a minivan, but it's not really. You had door on one side, Astro van. And so I'm driving this Astro van and I hit a patch of ice on the highway and I spun backwards on the highway and they're kind of top heavy. And so it's really easy to spin out of them. And so I spun around backwards and went down into a ditch, and it was a pretty deep ditch downward. And so, as I got down there, there's no way this van's going out because it's a pretty decent size angle to get it out, and it's a van. I mean, it's not an off-roading van, but it's a van. And so I'm there by myself, and I have no communication device at all, and I'm in Flint. And so I think to myself, what am I going to do? And I saw eyes like, Flint? Yeah. I grew up in that area. It wasn't really that scary. And so when I was there, I thought to myself, well, I need to go to a place that I can communicate with someone. And so I got out of my car and I walked across, I got out of the van and I walked across this field and I walked into this neighborhood area, but there was a public school there. So I went to the back door of the public school and started like pulling on the door. And at this point, people weren't freaked out about someone coming to your school. You could go into the school and you weren't worried about being arrested. And so I finally was able to get the gym teacher to open the door, let me in and let me use their phone so I could call for a record to pull my car out so I could then go to school. And that's how it used to work. But now we can in any moment call somebody because we carry these things with us. That's how prayer should be. We should know that any moment I can talk to God. I need God at every moment. And so any moment I can, I should be communicating with him. And so I want to challenge you in this way. How many of you carry a cell phone? Raise of hands. This week, in order to remind myself to pray, I changed my screen. And my screen says, pray. Many of us have an addiction to our cell phones. I don't really consider it me to have one. I can put it down, pick it up, whatever. But I do always have it with me. And many times my phone will go off. Sports Center update, my Spartans just beat Indiana, whatever, something like that. My Spartans are going to beat Purdue, things like that, you know. It'll go off, I pull it out, I look at it, I flip it shut, just like I did a second ago. So then, what's there? Pray. It's a reminder to myself to be in prayer. To be asking God, God, I need you right now. I need you every moment of every single day, and to pray. And so I want to encourage you, if there's something you do, and maybe it's not a cell phone, maybe you can't put a fancy picture on your cell phone, maybe you can put a fancy sticky note on your cell phone, I don't know. But find a way to remind yourself to pray. Whether it's a sticky note on your steering wheel of your car because you're always in your car. Whether it's a sticky note on the mirror of your bathroom because you spend time in the bathroom every day preparing. And you put one on your fridge and you put one at different places. Whatever it may do, find a way to remind yourself to build up a habit of being in prayer. Sometimes you can actually send yourself a reminder throughout the day, a text message reminder. Set it in your calendar where it'll say, hey, pray every 15 minutes. It'll remind you to be in prayer. But find a way to be in constant prayer. Here's some other ideas. I looked up how to build up an attitude or a habit of being continually praying this week or being in continual prayer. One was this. You can take a walk with God. Schedule a walk with God. And so that when you go on a daily walk, which is probably not a great day today, but when you go on your daily walk, spend that time praying with God. One is run with God. Maybe you're a runner. Run and talk to God. When you drive, put a sticky note. Drive, pray with God. When you're waiting, how many times during the day do we wait at stoplights or things like that? That time we're just like, whoa, this is such wasted time. I just hit every single light down 26. And I'm just trying to go to Sam's or go to work, whatever it may be. And so we have those times of waiting. Take those times of waiting as you see a stoplight to remind yourself to stop and pray with God. Take time to hide out. Anybody ever need some quiet time? Take time to get away, shut the door, leave the phone somewhere else, leave the computer somewhere else, leave everything somewhere else, and take time to shut the door and just spend time in prayer, hiding out with God this week. That's just some ideas of building up a prayer life, of having this pray at all times application in our life. The next application that we can start to apply today is number two is this. In the spirit, as it says. It says this, pray at all times in the spirit. This is a heart. We are called to have the heart of submission to God in our prayer. And so with every prayer and with every request, we are called to pray in the spirit, looking to submit to God. Jesus, when he teaches people to pray in Matthew 6, verse 9 through 13, shows this. Many times we have one area of our prayer life, and it's the request area of our prayer life. We miss many times the submission area of our prayer life. We want to throw out those requests, but it's harder for us to say, God, your will. God, I want to submit to you. And it's a one-sided conversation of God, fulfill this. So when we pray, we should be seeking to hear from God, not a one-sided conversation, but a two-sided conversation, and to be guided by God. And so Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13, Jesus shows these aspects of prayer. And so if you've never known, okay, how do I pray? What should I pray about? What are some areas of prayer? I want to show you the different aspects of prayer in here as Jesus breaks this down. It says this, therefore, you should pray like this. And he's not saying these exact words. You can pray these words, but you can expound on these, expand, go further, go deeper in these. And so this is just an example. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Okay, stop there. There, Jesus set an example of praise within prayer. And so an aspect of our prayer should be praising God for who he is. It's a realization of who I am and a realization of who he is. And so praise in our prayer. Next is the seeking and submission part. And this is the part that this point that we're talking about now, the heart of submission to God, is talking through. Verse 10 says this, your kingdom come, okay, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so if there is a kingdom that is coming, there is a king that is coming with that kingdom. And if you're asking for his kingdom to come, then you are saying, please, king, come. Be king here of my life. I want to submit to you fully your kingdom, your control, your master. This is submission to the king, God. Your will be done on earth here and as it already is in heaven. And so that's a submission to God within our prayer. And Jesus sets the example of this. It's not like when you ask your kids where they want to go eat, but you really don't want to know where they want to go eat. You want to give them like two choices where you want to go eat, and you're just having them choose between those two choices. Because like if we ask our kids where they want to go eat, it's always some place that has pancakes. It's got to have pancakes and lots of syrup. So we either end up at IHOP or Cracker Barrel. I mean, that's one of the two places. Every once in a while, Subway, but they don't have syrup for their subs, so that doesn't work. And so usually one of those two places. So as parents, now we're like, okay, nine Irish brothers, which one do you want to go to? That's what we like to throw out. Just a few choices, but they're really one choice because we say it twice. But we can't have that attitude in our prayer life. God, okay, your will be done, but could you do it in this way? Just giving you the option of one thing, God. Your will, my will. That's not the idea there. It's your kingdom, you are master. Your will be done. It's okay to still have requests. We should request in prayer. But it says with every prayer and request in the Spirit. So it's a willingness to submit even in our requests to God. Verse 12, and forgive us our debts. This is a confession time and also goes on a forgiveness time. As we're asking for forgiveness for our debts, for our sin, we're also asking for help to forgive others. As he goes on, he says, and we also have forgiven our debtors, or as we also have forgiven our debtors. Verse 13, you do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is a power to stand on God's power, for him to deliver us, for him to take us out of temptation. And then he goes into, once again, praise and a little perspective here. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And so he praises God, and then he puts a perspective of who's in control. God's in control. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So, as we pray, have a heart of submission to God. Number three, we are called to stay alert in our prayer. This is a manner of prayer and an importance of prayer. And so it says this, it says, pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert in this. As I read this, it reminds me, first of all, to remember exactly who I'm talking to. I am talking to the King of the universe, the creator of all things, the one that Matthew 19, 13, second part just said, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. That's who I'm talking to. Colossians 4, 1 through 2 puts it this way. Masters, supply your slaves with what is right and fair, speaking to earthly masters, since you know that you too have a master in heaven. You too have a master in heaven. Devote yourselves to prayer. Stay alert in it with thanksgiving. And so as we stay alert in prayer with thanksgiving, we are called to remember that we are talking to the Master. And so remember that as we go in prayer. It's a manner of prayer. We are coming before the King of everything. Next, as we look about the stay alert, it's a manner of prayer as far as who we're coming before, but it's also an importance of prayer, making sure prayer is important in our life. Jesus set the example in this as he withdrew to pray. Luke 5:16 says, yet he often withdrew to deserted places and prayed. He removed himself from every distraction he had and he prayed. He spent time with his heavenly Father. The application of this point, remind yourself each time you pray exactly who you're addressing. Be alert in that. Be aware of that. Find some time to remove every distraction you have so that this week you can give the one you're talking to, the King of everything, the time in that time in prayer without all those distractions pulling you away. Find a place to do that. Take away the distractions. Number four from this verse, as we go on from stay alert, it says this, stay alert in this with all perseverance and intercession. Okay, so with this, with all perseverance, keep praying. Keep praying. The example here, we are to continue to pray and pray and pray in our lives. Luke 11, 5 through 8 and then 9 through 13 puts it this way, and Jesus is sharing a parable here. When we read this, though, I want to just point out that as we read through this section, do not think that God is you in this story. Okay? This is a story Jesus is sharing, a parable Jesus is sharing, but many times we read about the friend, okay? And we think, well, the friend is me praying, but then you are, you know, like, you're God in this story. And it's not. The aspect that he's trying to teach here is the persistence in prayer. So get this. Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 8. He also said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. I said this wrong. I said the first part wrong. Don't suppose your friend is God in the story. You are the person coming persistently. The friend, many times we give the friend the aspect of God, saying, well, God's characteristic, God's going to get annoyed if I keep on praying. Don't suppose that. Sorry, I said that wrong. I had the wrong thing. I underlined it wrong. So, you are coming to a friend in the middle of the night and you're requesting this and requesting this and requesting this. When the friend gets annoyed, don't think in the story that that is how God reacts. Jesus here is just teaching for you and me to be persistent in our prayer. He also said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I don't have anything to offer him. Then he will answer from inside the door, don't bother me. God wouldn't say that. God would not say to you, don't bother me because you've come to him. Don't bother me. The door is already locked and my child and I have gone to bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he won't get up and give me anything because he is a friend, yet because of his friend's persistence, because of the persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. And so Jesus here is modeling to us, telling us here, not this is how God gets. He doesn't get annoyed at us for being persistent. What he's telling us here is you should be persistent in your prayer. Continue to go to God just like you would if you had a need to go to your neighbor and ask for something here. Then he goes on and he says it even clearer in Luke 11, 9 through 13. And he says in verse 9, so I say to you, keep asking and it will be given to you. Keep searching and you will find. Keep knocking and the door will be open to you. For anyone who asks receives, anyone who searches finds, and anyone who knocks, the door will be open. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give you or give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How much more? God is good. And he is a good, loving Heavenly Father. He is a much better Heavenly Father. He is a perfect Heavenly Father than I will ever be Father here on this earth. And so as we see these two lessons here, one, the persistence of prayer, and two, the fact that we have a loving Heavenly Father, we can know that when we go to him, he's not going to get annoyed at us. It does show, however, that when we go to him, it shows our reliance on him alone, and it shows just how important the thing is that we're praying about is to us. It's not super important to us if we only go to him once. But when we persistently go to him over and over and over and keep on praying about it, it shows just how much we are relying on our Heavenly Father and just how important it really is to us. And this is modeled here in Ephesians, as it says, to be persistent in prayer or to persevere. Okay, going on. The fifth and six are actually pretty quick points, and so we'll get through these quickly. We are called here to, as we pray with perseverance and intercession for all the saints, we need to know this. We need to be praying for each other. Let me challenge you in this. Many times when we ask for prayer requests, it's kind of silent in here. Sometimes we get several prayer requests or praises, and sometimes we get very few. But I know this. I know we all have something in our life that we're either struggling through or one of our close friends is struggling through that many times we don't want to share out here because maybe we're scared about someone else knowing. But let me encourage you in this way. We are called to pray for each other. And so I think we should have a safe place to share prayer requests here. But if you're not quite comfortable sharing them here in a large room, share them in your life group. Share them with a group of people you trust. Or find someone in this room today that you can pray for. Walk up to them after the service and ask them, hey, how can I pray for you this week? Send them a text message sometime this week. Hey, how can I pray for you? Email them, call them. How can I pray for you? So that you can start to develop this attitude of being consistent in prayer, persevering in prayer, and doing it while we're interceding for all the saints, praying for each other. I've challenged this before to maybe take the directory and start to pray through directory. Maybe you just take the bulletin home and you start to pray through who's serving the next week. And you start to apply that to your life and you write that person. You say, hey, I see you're reading scripture next week. How can I pray for you this week? And we start to develop the attitude of lifting each other up in prayer. Maybe before you leave, you write down the names of the people that are sitting around you and you start to pray for them this week. And next week you say, hey, I was praying for you last week, but it was kind of just vague prayers. And so how can I pray for you this week? Well, I know more directly, precisely what to pray for. 1 Timothy 2:1 says this. First of all, then I urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. It goes on to talk about how we should pray for leadership in the world, even kings. And so going past just praying for each other, starting there, and praying for all those around us. And as we pray, I want to encourage you, verse 19, to pray specifically. Pray specifically. You see, Paul here asks for him to pray in a direct way, for the church to pray in a direct way. He says this, pray also for me that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth and make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. You can fill that in somewhere by saying this, pray also for me that, fill in the blank. When we pray for each other, let's get specific in our prayer, direct in our prayer. Many times we pray generic prayers. God, protect them today. Help their day to go fantastic. And it's just a kind of overarching general prayer. Many times I pray that for myself. God, just give me a good day today. But I know exactly what I've been struggling through, what exactly has made maybe the previous day a bad day. So why don't I go directly to God and get specific with what has been bothering me or what has ruined my day the previous day? Lord, I've been struggling with this person or that person. And Lord, I don't know how to show them your love. Show me how to show them your love. Lord, I've been struggling with anger. God, help me through the anger. This is what has caused the anger. I've been struggling with hurt. I've been struggling with a sin, whatever it may be, in our lives. And we get specific with it instead of just saying, God, help me to have a good day. Pray specifically. Philippians and Ephesians, as we close with this, both point out just specific prayers that they were praying for, that he was praying for them, for the church. Philippians 1, 9 through 11 says this, and I pray this, and I pray this, and here's exactly what he prayed. I pray that your love will keep on growing in knowledge and every kind of discernment so that you can approve the things that are superior and can be pure and blameless in the day of Christ. Filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. That's a very specific prayer, is it not? He breaks down that they will grow in their knowledge and understanding and love and discernment and all these things of Christ. And so he's breaking down different aspects of prayer. And we're not going to break that down. I just want to show you examples of specific prayers. Ephesians 3, and these are ones that are right around Ephesians. That's why I'm going to these two, but this is all throughout Scripture. Jesus prayed specifically for you. If you go into John, you can read through his prayer over the disciples and over those who would believe in the future, and just very specific prayers. Ephesians 3, verse 14 through 19 says this, for this reason I kneel before the Father, and just an aspect of this, guys, he sees who he's praying to. And so he's kneeling before the King. He kneels before the Father, the creator of everything, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. And he goes on, I pray that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power. So he's praying for the church to be strengthened with power. In the inner man through his Holy Spirit. And so he's praying for the Holy Spirit's work to strengthen them. And that the Messiah may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the height, okay, the length, the width, the height, and the depth of God's love. So he's praying that they would understand God's love, being rooted and established in this, that they would be able to comprehend it and to know the Messiah's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Being very specific in the prayer and the example here. And so, let me encourage you in this way. This week, as you pursue Christ in prayer, as you talk to God, and you realize, man, I need to be in constant prayer. I need to remind myself to pray. I need to up the frequency of my prayer and live in just a manner of my realizing my need for God and then vocalizing my need for God throughout my day. And so our frequency increases. And then the submission, God, I want your will. And I'm not just praying requests. I'm really seeking your will in my life. And so guide me, Lord. And then the manner of our prayer changes. Of we realize exactly who we're talking to, that we're talking to the creator of everything. And the fact that prayer is so important in this. This communication is so important. And we start to realize the manner of our prayer. And we continue to ask and ask and ask because we're persevering in our prayer. And we're starting to pray for each other, that as we do that, we will get specific with our prayers. It's challenging. This week, as I read through this, I started challenging myself to do this. And it's harder than you think. Because you will catch yourself being very, very vague in your prayer life. And you'll go, okay, pause, God, I want to break this down to what I really mean. What I'm really asking for my kids, for me, for the church, for my church family, for the community. I'm going to break this down because not that you're dumb, you know exactly what I'm saying here. But so I know what I'm praying for. I'm being specific with you. God, I need you in this. And it'll be a challenge. And you'll start to see your prayer life grow. And you'll start to see it lengthen. Because you're starting to break down the real need you have for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to intercede in your life. And you step back and you go, how did I live without this? I was relying on myself for way too long, and this is the action of reliance on God in prayer. I hope that this week you'll start to apply these things in your prayer life. And if you didn't take notes and you're like, man, I wish I would have taken notes from the beginning, send me an email, catch me after church, and I'll send you the notes from this week and just say, hey, here's the breakdown of what we're challenged to do in application of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that each week we can come and learn from your word. It is a challenge. We read verses like, pray constantly. We have been taught about prayer throughout our lives, and many times we have kind of an ongoing prayer life, maybe wake up, meal times, or hard times throughout our lives. But living in the attitude of just really seeking you all the time, maybe we struggle with. And so, Lord, may this become an application in our life. Lord, that we won't just pray vague words. But, Lord, we will really break down what we're really seeking from you. And that we will really seek your will when we pray. And that it won't be just a one-sided conversation of, God, give me this, give me this, give me this. But Lord, we will come to you in the quiet, setting everything else aside, and we will spend time with you really seeking you. God, speak to us. Teach us through your word. And Lord, what you've taught us through your word today, Lord, I pray that we won't walk out these doors and forget them. And we'll start to apply them in our lives. We pray this in your name, Jesus, because you indeed are our only hope. We thank you for saving us. We thank you for the hope that we have in you alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.